Hallelujah. Right. Tonight, before we close, to go and rest. Just want to drop a few words from the mind of God into our hearts. The life of a minister is in instructions. The life of a minister is in instructions. You know, I've said this many times. If you read the letters that Paul wrote to ministers, there are three. The first, 1 Timothy. The second, 2 Timothy. The third, Titus. They are books full of instructions. There's hardly a revelation like that in those materials. It's just instructions. You should not, you must not, you should stay away. Instructions. That's the life of a minister. If all a minister is particular about is just knowledge, is treading dangerous paths. You know, you can know a lot of things and not do them. Life of a minister is in instructions. Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The life of a minister is in instructions. Now, we want to examine something very critical and very vital. Many times I have younger ministers or young ministers like myself ask questions. Now I'm still very far from the very end, very far. But then there are some experiences you have, even if it's not so much, it becomes much to others who are behind you. So that's why I share them. I claim no authority. I claim no authority. Same thing, but the little I have, I share with people. Now people ask oftentimes, how do you maintain consistency? It's a big problem. They often say in the world, there's no big deal in going to the top, but oftentimes it's staying there. You know, but of course this is not going to the top, I just use that illustration. Anybody can begin the work of ministry, and you know, with all the fire and fervor. There have been people who have come for this conference you came for. Some of you, it's your first time. But there are people who have come here years down the line. We've had this conference for 18 years. Not through all the 18 years, but we started 18 years ago. And I'm not sure that aside Pastor Allah who is here, there's no other person who is here today who was there 18 years ago. Or even 17 years ago. Hallelujah. Yesterday, to the glory of God, I began the 25th year in the work of the ministry. Yesterday. That means 24 years yesterday, I held my first teaching convention. Now I look back and I look at how many of us were in that convention, how many of us planned that convention? And just about two of us. Two. Despite all our prayers that evening, before the convention held, how many of us today are in the service of the Lord? Everybody's doing fine. Everybody's married, I believe. Yep, by last count, except two other brethren, I don't have ideas of where they are. But married, you have kids. But that was not what we said 24 years ago. Now you wonder, why does it happen like that? People start out well, they're excited. But then it goes beyond that. How does the man maintain consistency? How does he maintain it? 3 years ago, I went to Tulsa. I go to Tulsa virtually every year for the past few years. I go there for a particular conference of ministers. Not exactly just ministers, but missionaries. So they call it Winter Bible Seminar, but it's actually like a missionary conference. People come in there from different parts of the world. So this time around, we were taken around the facility to go and see where Kenneth Hagin, where his office was, because they left his office the way it was the day he died. And then as people were going around, excited, you know, touching the books, I stayed glued to the corner. So one of the brethren that followed me said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know what you see here, but I'm seeing something else." And then there were tears in my eyes. I said, "What do you see?" I said, "I see consistency. There's something here that we need to observe. Because the man, 70 years in the work of the ministry, was observing quiet time. 70 years. He was reading his devotions. And I said, it's not likely at all that he was doing it to preach a new sermon. His books are all over the world. The books of Brother Hagin before he passed on were one of the most read in the world. So it couldn't have been that. That means beyond fame, beyond sermons, this man of God was maintaining something. And I said to myself, there are things to learn. Praise the Lord. There are things to learn. Now, pay good attention here. How do you maintain consistency? I'm just going to give you my own meal. Now, consistency is a function of your heart. Consistency is a function of your heart. Now, let me give you a short illustration that may make a lot of sense. If you aim, all your life, you were aiming to build a house that is in your life as you were going through school, what was uppermost in your mind as you passed through the lectures? One course I hated in my junior class in secondary school was Intro Tech. I'll tell you why. The reason why I hated it was because the Intro Tech, how many people here went through Government College Ballon? Stand up. You are still the only one. It's a problem. The Lord is warning everybody here. But you did Intro Tech? You must have. Like one brother who didn't go to GSS school and said he's in National Open University. Things happen. It was still at the gate. Are you sure? Okay, because we were many years apart. But I knew that we had to walk. And then we bought this TD board. Is that the same thing? And you had to carry it. The funny part was in my form one, I put all my books in the bag. Did you ever do that? All your books is part of the timetable. I was so excited, I was in form one, I put all the books in the bag. So to not carry TD board. And then we got to the place, the man who was our teacher, Sindel, he had this Max. No, No, that's not my problem. I've grown up to see people that have marks as wicked. So everything just worked against my desire. The distance, the board, then the teacher. Very ridiculous. So I was wondering, what is this got to do with my life? Then they told us that when you get to the senior class, you now do woodwork. Is that it? I said, God forbid, batting. Anyway, you know, as you grew up, your mind was, I want to build a house. Have you gone to some areas? I don't know. Not everybody was born in a wealthy family, but my dad would take us to his friend's place. We were renting an apartment. They owned their own place. And then there will be so, the house will look like heaven. Real heaven. And then you wish that you were living here. Does that happen to you before? You want to lie? And then sometimes you think you should stay over. There was a someone's house like that, that we went there after school, and then they gave us dodo. Very fresh. I like this thing. So I decided on my own. I left school, primary school, to go and eat dodo. And I was prepared to stay over. I just saw my dad at night. I knew this is trouble. So that was a dream. Interesting, in one of the houses that I used to see, like, I asked my brother, I asked my cousin, I said, how did they design this house? He said, it's like a piece of paper, they just like this and put it down. You know how you lie to yourself when you are small? I said, hey, just paper, I said, paper. That's interesting. There was one guy in my primary school, Chukwueke, very, very fat guy. He was so fat. So me and a friend said, we wanted to reduce him. Reply was in primary 2 or 3, I think. I think it was 3. So how do we do it? He said, we should get a pin. You know, when you watch cartoons. So we just put a pin. Then he told me, the day we planned, so he brought the pin to school. And we said, there'll be too much blood. No, let's do it today. That guy was a funny guy. The reason why I wanted to puncture him or whatever was, I once wanted to do high jump. So I went over the high jump, the bar. So I said, raise it high. Very high. So I put it up. You know, I'd watch Olympics. I think 84 Olympics. So you go like this. So that's how I went and I landed on my hand. I didn't even get close to it. So my hand went, Peke, this ball pulled my hand. He said, let me help you stretch it. I said, please. African parents are interested. My dad was not in Nigeria then. I think he wasn't in Lagos, pardon. So by the time I had the cast, I now went to play football the same day. So now when you see your children do the same thing, Nemesis is catching up with you. And I said, then my dad came back. I thought he would say sorry. He flogged me. He said, your arm is paining you and you are playing football. I said, it's still paining me. So you grew up having dreams. I saw those houses. Interestingly, these days, I walked by the same house and I said, is this the house that caught my fancy? You have that dream. Do you know that if that is your dream, the day you build that house, you are fulfilled. All the momentum will cease. Now, if as a believer, let me talk to you as a pastor, a minister, your goal is to be, some funny things people say this largest church in Nigeria, biggest ministry in Lagos, most televised, most, the minute you get to that point, because that was your dream, your momentum will cease. Because that was the dream. Now imagine if your dream was just to please God. That's it. Whether it's a large church, whether you are known or not, you know, nothing will stop your momentum. If that's your dream, you just want to stand before Jesus at the very end of your life. Then you'll be like Kenneth Hagin. After 70 years in ministry, whether there's a sermon or not, whether there's an invitation or not, you will study to know the Lord. You will pray. Because that's where you're heading for. I always say this to you, do not forget. Faithfulness is never in the past. Faithfulness is what you do till the end. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? Are you listening to me tonight? Because you will know that what you're seeking to do is to serve the Lord, is to please the Lord. So you are not praying so that your ministry can be known. You are not studying the word to be the best Bible teacher in the world. You are not healing the sick so that they put it on TV and say, "What's happening there? I was deaf, now I can hear. See this! Hallelujah!" That's not why you're doing it. You don't even mind if it's not on television. Hallelujah. I'm not boasting, but I tell people, the kind of miracles we see in our ministry, you put it on TV, it will make some people look like small boys. I mean small, in every ramification. But the thing is, it's not a PR war. Don't use miracles to gather people into church. Miracles are to glorify Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? So, consistency is of the heart. What did I say? Come on, say it loud. You'll only be consistent based on what is in your heart. What are you planning to do? If just like I was when I was a young boy, I wanted that house. You saw a church large in Lagos, I want to be like that church. And that's all. That's why someone will be so fervent, we will think, when he was a younger minister. He becomes older, he now has a large congregation, he's now on television, he has money, he has good partners in his ministry. Then things change. No, things didn't change. Things had always been like that. They only came out publicly. You find out what is in your heart. When you started the church, what was in your heart? When you were going on television, what was in your heart? When you are putting things on television, on radio, on internet, someone say, "We just want to get the word out." Are you sure that is the reason? Because that is the excuse people give. Are you sure that's why you are doing it? I told you the very first night, why you are doing it is more important than what you did. Can you remember that? So consistency is something of your heart. It's the same way people today become money-minded in ministry. It is not a sudden thing. It was always there. I had a friend who told me, this was what he said. Because, you know, we were young preachers. And I'm still young anyway, but this was a couple of years back. So I finished preaching for him, it was 96. I think it was 96. And then he brought in some dollars. Quite a number of dollars then. Then we just finished preaching. Then he poured the dollars on the floor. He said, "Step on it." And I did. We were many, not just me. He said, "This is it. we will spend this thing. Yes, we will. We were saying those things, and as I was saying, my heart was going, has that happened to you before? And I was saying, I overcame the creed by shouting, yes, we will spend it. Yes, we will spend it. Say, yeah, we take over, we take over. We take over, yes, we take over. It's always been like that. There was a church. And then, the church had a pastor who was preaching doctrines that were false. Not everything he preached was false, but he preached things that were false. Interestingly, the things he preached that were false were the things that made him popular. This, my friend, went to the church, very big church in Lagos then. He now prostrated flat. He said, God, if this is heresy, give me this kind of heresy. It's not funny. Then I understood why he asked us to step on dollars. You know? And I said to myself, no, 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 no. Heresy? Mba. That one passed me. And I told him, it's not likely we continue to be friends. In fact, something I told, he reminded me a couple of years back. He said, you know, you told me that you hate me more than the devil. I said, I did. He said, I don't regret it. He said, are you still serious? I said, yes, the devil is predictable. You are not. I'm milder these days. I think I got born again a few years ago. He was my friend. I preached for him. So today, when I see the way he carries about the material gospel, he didn't change. He has always been like that. And several other people. You check what is in your heart. Interestingly, my friend is prayerful. Very prayerful. Very prayerful. But the truth is, what was in his heart was acquiring titles. He told me, he said, why don't you be a reverend? Because I became a reverend before all of them. In fact, before him, several years ago. She said, why are you not using the title? I just didn't find it comfortable. As an undergraduate, did you call me reverend? I don't know how you feel. You have matric number, you are called reverend. I told myself, it didn't make sense. Do you understand? It didn't make any sense. But you see some folks, you can't sign your name without putting pastor. Is that your name? Pastor. Even on Facebook, pastor. Can't you just be simple? Jesus told Saul, I am the Lord Jesus Christ whom you persecute. What did he say? And the Lion of Judah, Ancient of Days. He said, I am Jesus. Keep it simple. And what did Paul say? He said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. That's what he said. He said, it was Paul who called him Lord. He called himself what? Jesus. Keep it simple. The craze of the 70s and the 80s that got the Orthodox churches to be titled crazy is now in the charismatic churches, and we have scriptures to back it up. See, Bible says, I magnify my office. Paul says, I, Paul, an apostle. Why not put your own name too before pastor? You don't get that. What's happening tonight? Put your name before pastor. Jake's pastor. It works. If you don't call yourself reverend, does it change the fact that you are revered? Does it? No. Are you following what I'm saying? What's in your heart? Were you dreaming to be called pastor? Was it your lifelong ambition?
to be called bishop. I'll have been a bishop how many years ago? It's not, I've shown you, and I've shown you how to become bishop. Let me say some things here, it's not necessary, but there's a way you can become a bishop. It's not difficult. And you file in for your enthronement. They now enthrone you. They put a seat with a crown, and then you are enthroned as a bishop. The same things Pentecostals said in the 70s and 80s about the Orthodox churches. We have taken our own with a lateral perspective. You know, anything Pentecostals hold like this, their own is always extreme. The other one was already extreme. These are the extremities of the extreme. Check your heart. Were you praying so that you start to do miracles, people will know you? So the minute you reach that destination, it's just like a journey. When you run a race, if it's 100 meters, you know you pull all your strength to reach that destination. The minute you get to that destination, everything just stabilizes. May you never end before the end. I just prayed for you. May you never end before the end.
Amen.
May your end be the very end.
Amen.
You know, some people have ended it. They are just doing things. Do you know it's not difficult to be backsliding and be a pastor and getting results? It's not difficult, though. You can pastor for years and not have a prayer life. Yes. And you'll be teaching prayer and you're not praying. Am I making any sense here? You can. And you're not praying. What is in your heart? That's what will make some of us. The ministry of fellowship, your church is not mega church. You become uncomfortable. You are frustrated. You now begin to preach circumstantial messages. It's not about growth. Not about numbers. Calm down. Before you know it, you are calling people. What can I do? The minute you begin to ask people what you can do to grow church, you are setting yourself into trouble. I say this in Christ alignment. There are young ministers who, because of that desire, have entered cults. Those who have got into relationships. So listen to me. What can I do? How can I? Go and check. Revelation International Church. See how they do their backdrop. See how they do. See the way the ushers. Everybody in Lagos now puts people on the door to be there. You're welcome. They now put red carpet. And you throw a flower at you. Are you an Indian? You throw a flower. I say, You're welcome. Welcome to church. They will not take picture from the gates. What is wrong? You see some people too. Their own two is where two or three are gathered. They are doing, you're welcome. You're welcome. You want to spend all the money? To get the exquisite venue. You're welcome. Go and spend all the money to get equipment, musical equipment. You know, look at a rock star. Welcome to the top. Gang. Brother Higgins said this years ago. He said, when a young man wants to acquire wealth easily and quickly, he doesn't live long. I heard that from my father. And I was surprised. Hey, who live long? Now, you don't have to see it as superstition, but the fact is, take it easy. Are you even looking at your prayer life? The fundamentals you have forgotten. Are you looking at your own life?
Paul wrote to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16. Yourself first. Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourself and to the flock. Who is first? Who is first? Take heed to your life. You know some people? I've not seen anybody yet. You are still in World Changers Conference. You go on Facebook. Wow. See glory of God. Are you okay? Take heed to yourself first. Nobody gets cured giving medicine to others. Use it first. Use it. Consistency is a function of your heart. What is there? What were you looking out to do? Are you looking out to be famous, be popular, be known, be elevated, or you just want to serve God? You know, people that want to serve God, no matter the position you put them, they will serve. Those who cringe, by the time you change them from, maybe you used to be pastor, say, come and do Ed Usher, just go with my glory. When I was younger, we went for this camp in 94. We had just finished a healing service and we had seen miracles. Myself and my friend, we were 7 apostles. So, we now came for this camp meeting. So somehow, we slept late. So Uncle Ladele, who fathered most of us when we were younger, he just came to our room. Nobody dared enter where we were. All of us in one room. We'll look at you. If I will give you word of knowledge and start to prophesy curses upon you. So nobody came to that room. We were just there. We just lay down there, you know, and all that. And, you know, you now put Bible on your chest. Blah, 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 blah. So, Uncle just came and said, "America, Tushi, what are you saying? Get up!" And that's the man that can talk to us. We all got up. Said, "Go and wash toilet. Go and wash." Toilet. Does this man know what I just did last week? The kind of exploit. Say, "Go and wash toilet." Tell you, take that toilet. And because the man was our teacher. Teacher naturally and spiritually, he taught us in secondary school. So we're all grumbling and say, toilet. You didn't say it to him. But he said, you toilet. Some scriptures are coming to your head. You don't take that what belongs to children to dogs. Who cast your prayers before swines. I magnify my office. Those kids are complete. So all of us grumbled. He knew what was in our heart. He said, "They are too anointed to clean toilets." Somehow, I don't know. I just thought about what he said, and I felt, "What was really wrong with all of us? Well, did you not use that toilet?" I started thinking. A man had told me this earlier. He said, little men are revealed in great things. Great men are revealed in little things. And I agree with him. So I went there, I washed the toilet, and I made a vow that day that no matter what ministry I belong to, I will not stop arranging things and cleaning. And I say this without boasting. Since that year, all the churches I've assisted in pastoring, the ones I founded, the ones I pastored, every ministry I belong to, I will always participate in how the venue is arranged, how the hall is cleaned. I've maintained it for 22 years. It makes me remember that thing. You cannot wash toilet. The way I heard it, I don't know how you hear things. It was as though Jesus was talking to me. Does that happen to you? that someone talks to you and you know God was talking to you. Has that happened to you severally? I just knew this was from God. And I made a vow. I was in America and we were to pack books. And so, well, Tosh was not there. So they said, hey, brother, come, please, help us. So they were throwing books. What was that? No. He said, it's Pastor so. I said, no. It makes no difference. These books are to bless lives. The apostles, after healing the sick, they distributed fish and bread. And the fish did not turn into a whale. It's important to know that. After Paul had taught Acts 11 in Antioch, they gave him relief to take to Jerusalem. He became usher. He didn't say, no. I have taught the church. I'm a man of God. Jesus appeared to me. He showed me my vision. No. Keep it simple. Tell your neighbor, say, keep it simple. Come on, turn to someone, say, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Hallelujah. So what is in your heart? Is it fame? Is it money? There are people who are in ministry today because in the employment world, they couldn't get jobs to make money. They are now using church to make that money. So what they have simply done is to replace the church. Okay? Their life ambition using the church. They've always wanted to be popular. They've always wanted to make money. They've always wanted to be given awards by men. And so it becomes easy with the church. Check what is in your heart. Am I making sense this time? Alright, good. Romans chapter 12 verse 11. I do my best to end in the next 30 minutes. Hope I can. Romans 12, 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Did you notice that everything he said there is your responsibility? You will choose not to be slothful. To lack in zeal, some versions will say. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Fervency means to be consistent. Fervency means to continue. Fervency means to be on fire. And the person who will light that fire continually is you. Let me say this and write this down. The fire will not burn on its own. You will keep it burning yourself. Consistency is your responsibility. The consistency is my responsibility. Don't forget, we started by saying it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to accomplish something, you will run towards it and accomplish it. And that will be it. But if your goal is that to the end of my life, whether the crowds are there or not, whether I'm popular or not, I will stick to pleasing the Lord. It won't matter whether you are preaching or not, whether there is a sermon or not, whether you run a school of ministry or not, you will study God's word without any conditions attached. You will pray. We'll go to that in a moment. So, fervency is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Someone was telling me earlier today, he said, this meeting is a template. It is now the responsibility of everyone to keep the fire burning. It's a template. You have learned
to stay in the place of prayer. You have learned to discipline the flesh. I was telling you earlier, I said the issue here is that when you pray, it's not just what you are praying about, it is why you are praying. The prayer should change you. I met some of you outside and I said, did you observe this? That the same people that were dragging like Lazarus at the end of prayer, now were with a Onifufu, and all their members stood up. He said, but why, sir? I say it's the flesh. They should have noticed that the flesh does not like spiritual activities. It doesn't. I've seen someone cry for 24 hours. Non stop. Because he was enjoying it. How can water be coming out of and your body is producing water consistently? People watch movies. Is that not true? Consistently. People drive 18 hours, 12 hours. You have pilots who fly for 16 hours. Am I right? Because there's something to get at the end of it. So the reason why, and you just wake up, those of you that are dozing now, Uticus is learning from you. Let us say stand up. You will see how Gistimania will take over you. The glory of Gistim. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. And before, you that couldn't keep your eye awake here, everything is standing. It exposes your flesh. It shows you that you are not disciplined spiritually. What is this? There are people who will decide to do all night. You propose to do all night and you will sleep inside. You can't even set a standard for yourself. I've seen Christians put on alarm and put it off by themselves. Is that not an attack? You are under attack. Oh, attack is this though. That's an attack. You put the alarm on yourself. And the alarm came up. It's attack. No, listen, no, I'm not joking. Nobody forced you to do it. Say, Lord, tonight, and you put that, and you put all by yourself. You said you were going to fast until 6 o'clock. By 2 o'clock, you started reasoning. That is, the Jewish time is the one by 6 to 6. And the Nigerian, is that not an attack? The world is doing you. It is done. Finish work. By yourself. This is not the business in you. So I'm praying tonight. And you started. And you are still thinking that you are born again. Look at it. So in the flesh, you should have detected something. Some of you sat down, and as your colleague was coming, and you looked at the person, if you come, your flesh was not disguising at all. That what? Manifestation. Hallelujah. If your doctor tells you, you must not take water for the next 24 hours, or you will die. You say, it's no big deal. Water. So you are actually dealing with your appetites. That's it. The guy was telling me he couldn't control his sexual desire. I said,
This girl say you cannot control. If she tells you, before you come, I have HIV. Oh, what happened? I say, ah, no, sir. Say, you see? You can control it. You will jump through the window. You don't mind breaking the louvers. So you can control your appetites. Hallelujah. So fantasy is whose responsibility? It's your own. Keep it simple. Don't forget, those of you who have been here for as long as you can remember, whether it's 18 years, whether it's 15 years, whether it's 13 years, whether it's 10 years, I've always said this, the way you grow is the way you grow. Don't make it complicated. You see, that simple thing you used to do, you wake up in the morning and pray, is the same thing you will keep doing. Just maintain it. Don't let anybody teach you 6 wisdom keys. It's a lie. You wake up, the way you wake up, the way you used to do 1 vigil per week or per month, the same is the same thing you keep doing. The man Mike Murdock said something, one of a few things of his says that I quote. He said, the life of a champion, the secret of a champion is what he does daily. And I agree with him. What you do daily, what are those things you will keep doing daily? Every day. Keep it simple. That fervency is your responsibility. Whether you are preaching in church or not. Whether you have a sermon to teach or not. Make it simple. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Some of us, your schedules may make you do it late at night. But whatever it is, have a routine that you keep. I always say this every time. But Tokes, I need you, I'm calling Pastor Tokes. Somebody I've known for 23 years. And we've been close for more than, for about 21 of that number. There's something, I was telling him the other day. So he called me that they were insulting him and all that. Then after a while, I just laughed back. I said, you. The guy that insulted me, what level? He said, the guy is in medical school. I said, you. At that age, didn't you do worse? He just laughed. I said, is your what you sow that you are reaping? He said, you did worse. So we began to exchange past stories. He started laughing. I said, me, I know you now. He said, that boy is just like you. In fact, he's a milder version. This one has fruit of his face. I said, we are here to help them. We just laughed over it. And some stupid boys were doing Voltron for him. They don't even know him. They've never seen him before. Stupid boys. I said, look, I learned this. Just help this. All of us have done Chrisman. If you have never done Chrisman, you are not growing. Oh, there are some things you cannot start with balance. What are you balancing? You first start with Son of Tarsus. He went over the place. They say, calm down. How can you start with balance? There must be fire. Before we calm the fire. But no fire. It's just stove. Empty. Praise God. So, I said, do you know how I knew you? They said to me, had seen him before. They said, you want to see him? They said, and he was so precise. They said, 1 a.m. stay in front of Teda Hall. She will pass by praying in tongues. I said, yeah, sure. I said, He said, if you miss today, you go tomorrow. It's the same thing. I said, if I miss tomorrow, the next day, it's going to be the same thing. Ha! So, I said, I'll go to Teda Hall. And I waited there. Teda Hall, between Teda Hall and Bellamy. They used to sell Akara. Under the tree, where they now, I think it's now a love triangle. And 1 a.m., I just saw him. Got up, said, Glory, and he went away. I said, I told you, the second day, the same time,
I said, there's something about this fellow. He's consistent. So when we came close, I found out too. 3 times a day. Those of you who I believe doesn't know what I'm talking about. He will just, you'll be talking. You will see him. He has gone to spend time to pray and study 1 hour each day, each time, that is 3 times a day. I've seen him do it for 21 years unbroken. Unbroken. That is consistency. So when you see that person preaching, there's something you must learn. Because I'm saying when he did not have a pulpit. He didn't have a pulpit. Consistency. What is in your heart? Keep it simple. Are you following what I'm saying? I've told you, young ministers, don't let man of God turn you to a foolish person. Man of God is a burden. He's a burden. He's a burden. He's a burden. He's a real burden. You can't talk normally. You can't walk normally. You can't smile normally. You can't laugh. You want to laugh? You are under attack. You can't smile. Let's go. Say, are you Demolu? I say, Reverend Demolu, you mean? You see, there's a problem. There's a problem. You are under attack. You are stressing yourself. Someone came to our church. He said, I want to see Pastor Chris. I said, he's inside. He didn't put surname. He didn't put surname now. He wanted to see me, and you saw me. What were you expecting to see? One said, I want to see the pastor. I said, what do you want? He said, no, I don't want to talk to one associate pastor. I want to talk to the pastor himself. The funny part was that when in our corner, I was the person, he said, I'm really sorry, sir. Don't stress yourself. Don't stress yourself. You see, you say, some of you, of course, in the beginning of prayer, marathon, you refer to man of God, Morgan, you swear out there, 3 hours. That man of God, he left you. When I got to 10 hours, you became a Christian. A full-blooded Christian. There's no man of God in intense prayer. Your Facebook emoji raptured. This is real life. It's not doing series on prayer. What prayer is not? Pray first. You do a series of what prayer is not. You came here 3 hours. Your tongues turned to tongues of angels. That is him, ha 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 ha. Father in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Keep a routine. Something you will not alter. I saw that in the life of Brother Higgin. 70 years. So when you find a man like that, who did not have a single scandal in ministry, not one, was never perfect, never. His doctrines were not perfect, all through. But you see a man of depth. I was talking to someone. I said, do you know something? I said, look at this. We're watching Dom Wen. I said, Dom Wen sings songs as I look at sometimes. I said, you should have adjusted this thing. I said, but do you know that no matter what you say about the wordings, there is a depth you will see when Dom Wen is singing. You will see it. So somebody else can be quoting scriptures properly and you'll be put off. And you sing it, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're born again. And this one doesn't know what he's really saying. Are you following what I'm saying? consistency. The first time I heard them, when was 1989, was the first time I heard his song. I said, bro, there's something about this fellow. So when I was now told how he was trained, there's something. You can't hear that song, I am the Lord that healed thee. It's an altar. We sing that song in heaven, I'm telling you. That song is just here. Even God will make a way. There's a way those songs come out. Hallelujah. They'll say, we are the way, we're the way, we're the way, the truth and the light. And we can't see anything. We are the way, we are the way, we are the way, Christ Jesus. Sure. Noise is not anointing. Or whatever, gift of the Spirit, whatever. Praise the Lord. Be consistent in your prayer life. How many hours do you pray every day? Not when you are leading prayer or you are in a prayer meeting. You as an individual. That's your prayer life. There are some of us here, sincerely, and I'm not joking, you still need books like Rhapsody and Every Day with Jesus. It's true. You still need those things. Rhapsody, Every Day with Jesus. At least it will keep you sane to be opening your Bible every day and just studying and feeding from it. You know, serving food does not mean you are feeding from it. Tasting it does not mean you are feeding from it. Knowing the constituents of food does not mean you are feeding from it. You have not fed until you eat it. Did you hear me? Be consistent. Keep it simple. Prayer and the study of the word. Just make it daily. Whether you are reading scriptures, first and foremost, or you are listening to the word, it's so important. Keep it simple. Don't make it complicated. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you know that prayer and the study of the word has no time limit? You must do it till the end of your life. Simple things. The way you grow is the way you grow. I've always told you this. If there's something you must never lose your innocence and your simplicity. You know, there's a way you can grow in size before men, and then you will be rejecting correction. Not because the correction was wrong. It's simply because of your position. That's what. Because of your position. Hallelujah. I tell our pastors, they are here. Say, the day you start to take correction as a pastor, you are writing your swan song. Take a correction as a Christian. As a Christian, just be simple. Keep it simple. Keep your innocence as a believer. Let your heart be tender. Don't harden yourself up. The people you are trying to impress can never be impressed. The people you are trying to impress, at the end of your life, it won't make any sense. You just wasted your time. Prayer, simple things, like fellowship. Don't cut yourself away from fellowship. Don't cut yourself away from fellowship. Meetings of this nature, since it's once a year, has this meeting been helping you? I'm asking a question. As a believer, That means the way you grow is the way you grow. Someone was telling me, I can't come on Sunday. He said, well, I have church. I said, it's not church that is doing it. It's because we're not the one preaching. If I said you should come and take the session on Sunday morning, you will come here. You are just overwhelmed by position. Say one service. Is what you are doing here, is it not for your church? I'm asking. Is it not for your ministry? It's for your sake. Is the prayer not for you? I'm asking. What we are hearing tonight, is it not for you? Would your church members not be better off for it? Don't miss fellowship around people who will sharpen you. One thing we all have to be careful of as ministers of the gospel, don't surround yourself with people that will tell you what you want to hear. This world is full of politics. You have to be careful. Come to places where it will be exposed that your prayer life is not strong. That your knowledge of the word of God is shaky. That your Christian life is not sound. So that you can be corrected. Let me say this. I've told you this before. I do away with my critics, but never their criticisms. Never. Anybody who criticizes me, I listen to him well. I can ignore the critical and not talk, and not even respond. But don't be fooled. Whatever the person says, even if he's a Muslim, I will listen. Because many times, you are the wrong judge of your actions. You are the wrong judge of your actions. And listen, I can do away with the critic. And even fight the critic. But I'm not stupid. Not to know that it doesn't matter who is telling the truth. The truth is true. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? Keep your heart tender. Never fight truth. What did I say? Repeat after me. Never fight truth. Say what I said. Never fight truth. Never in your life should you fight truth. Fellowship. Simple things. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, Paul says, stir up the gift of God. It's your responsibility. What we're doing in this conference is to stir up the gift of God. That's at work in us. In Colossians 4:17, it says to Archippus, the ministry that you have received of the Lord, see to it that you fulfill it. May God give us people like Paul in our lives who can tell us, fulfill your ministry. You know, those are the things you should tell your Christian friends. Say, what, how far with the ministry that God gave to you? Why would Paul say to Archippus? That means Archippus must have been showing signs that maybe he was getting lazy. Maybe he was getting discouraged. So say to him. That is the beauty of fellowship. People that can speak into your life, can correct you. 1 Peter 5. Just rush through this. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5. I pray for you. May you never engage in things that will make you regret. There are things ministers enter into and they live a life of regret. They will not show it publicly, but in their heart they can't sleep. For fame and glory. You don't need it. Rather, be content. Listen to this. Be anonymous and God is pleased, than be famous and he is displeased. Rather be anonymous and is pleased than be famous and is displeased. Let me say this and let it be clear to you. Hear what I'm going to say very well.
God's glory goes to him alone. God's glory goes to him alone. It's not about you. It's about Jesus.
I was with our pastors one day and we're talking, and I told them, I said, how is it possible for Christian pastors to be fighting over church? I think it was on Friday. I said, what? I said, pastor, it's money. I said, because I can't see a reason why you are fighting over the flock. He says, no flock. It's money. And people bring out gun.
As Prophet Obala years ago, Prophet Obala, the president of Wosen, he shared some story with me, and it was so strange. I couldn't ask him whether I was lying, but I felt he was lying.
He said people were doing jazz at him. I said, from the world. He said, no, pastors. I said, sir? He said, pastors. Jazz. Over church. Church. You know, I couldn't phantom it. I saw some in this country that they were bringing gun. Bah, oh, you cannot take our church. Somebody wants to leave one church, he will split the church and you see fighting, cursing. And they'll be fighting themselves. A good fight of faith. Strange. Are you there? Look at 1 Peter 5. Verse 5. I want us to read that together. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Everybody, let's start again. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives... Hallelujah. Clothe yourself with what? With what? Humility. Do you know that humility was an high point, attribute of Jesus? There's nothing in our spirit that resembles pride. Clothe yourself with what? Who is going to do that for you? You will do it yourself. Clothe yourself with humility. Consistency is your responsibility. As you step out of this conference on Friday, know that this meeting has been a template for you to continue to serve the Lord, to wait in the place of prayer, to study His Word, to fellowship and receive instruction. It's just a template. Be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Like I always say, it's the same road everybody's going to take. There's no one excluded from walking in the Spirit. No one is excluded from being simple, humble, contrite in the heart. No one. No matter who you are, it's the same road we're going to take. We all have to pray. We all have to study. We all have to walk in the Spirit. We have to keep the flesh under. Hallelujah. We all have to be humble. As I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Lest I be the doctor that gave drugs to people who are sick as he was, but he never took the drug. He will die and they will be alive. May your message not just work in people's lives, may it work in your own life too. May you not be found as a signboard, pointing people to where you are not going to. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. This is not a race of competition. This is not a destination for mega church, destination for going on TV, destination for having largest congregation, destination for having your books all over the world. It's not a destination for that. There will come a time that people will read those books again. They are not ready for it. I'm prepared for it. Well, the same books they are celebrating, they will throw it away. But the most important thing is you keep at it. Hallelujah. You gotta be ready for that. In season and out of season, you have famine. You gotta be ready for that. Except you are not wise. If you are just a church historian, you will know that there will time people come and you will still leave. Ensure you keep the faith. You fight the good fight and run your race. Bow your heads, let's pray. Keep at it. Just spend some time praying. Let's pray.